This is The Missing Link with your host, the insufferable, but never boring, Sean Jackson.
Hello, everyone. It is Sean Jackson. I'm joined, as always, by the wistful Micah Gadea. Micah, how are you?
Ooh, I like that. I'm good, Sean. How are you doing?
I am recovering, to say the least. I will say that a week in Vegas at PubCon is almost a week too long. I love interacting with all of the attendees there and certainly all the speakers, getting a chance to get to talk to them, catch up, et cetera. But Vegas is just, it'll take it out of you. So I was busy, but not doing work. What were you doing, Mike, while I was gone?
Actually working, Sean. I know. I did post some really cool articles from one of our group members, and then we've been hearing from Peter Monroe and Ajish Raju, and of course our regulars, Michael and Robert and Cheryl and AJ. I love our group. Stan's been in there.
Yeah. They really are. I have to tell everyone who's been participating in our group, I cannot thank you enough. And it was nice when I was at the conference. I definitely mentioned the show. A lot of people coming to join the show for the first time based on hearing me at PubCon. So awesome. For everyone new, thank you for joining. For everyone who's listening for the first time, you probably will be asking, what the heck are they talking about? What is this group? What are you mentioning? So, Micah, yeah, I need you to tell everyone who probably doesn't know for the first time how to join our super secret LinkedIn discussion group, where we have lots of discussions, lots of comments, lots of helpful information, people posting problems they need solutions to, people posting solutions that they need problems to.
It's amazing. It is great. If you're ready to do your LinkedIn journey, if you're ready to get started or to restart, which many of us are, it's definitely in your best interest to join our group. And you can get there by texting us on your mobile device in the continental United States, 41411. And that keyword's going to be MyLink, MYLINK. And that's without the space. So it's 41411 text. MyLink is the keyword. Now, if you're outside of the US, we have a huge international membership in there, which is so amazing. You're just going to send us an email at missinglink@rainmaker.fm and we'll get you all set.
It is that easy, folks. Yep. So if you haven't joined our super secret discussion group, go ahead and take the time because there's tons of helpful information on there. So, Micah, for the show today, I am excited. I'm excited that we have DeBear with skepticalandambivalent.com. You know, I love skepticalandambivalent.com.
Hold up. That is Jay Bear with convince and convert, Sean.
Oh,
yeah.
Ooh, better change my notes for the interview then.
You were close, gosh. Jay Bear, convince and convert.
Yes, the best-selling New York Times best-selling author and absolute thought leader in the content marketing space, and certainly a good friend to us here at Rainmaker Digital, Mr. Jay Bear of Convince and Convert. Well, help make sure that I'm not skeptical and ambivalent when it comes to marketing on LinkedIn. And you know what, Micah? What I really like about Jay is that he is not only a proponent of it, he really has some unique things he's been doing on it. So I'm really looking forward to finding out some of the behind-the-scenes thought process on how one of the leading content marketers has been using LinkedIn to actually build business for his business.
Very cool. Yeah, that'll be great to know.
So stay tuned from the break, everyone. And when we come back, we have DaBear, Jay Bear from Convince and Convert joining us just in a moment.
The Missing Link is brought to you by the Rainmaker Platform, the complete website solution for content marketers and online entrepreneurs. Find out more and take a free 14-day test drive at rainmaker.fm/platform.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back from the break. It's Sean Jackson and Micah. Who do we have today again? I forget. What's his name?
Oh, that's right. I cannot even tell you how excited I am. We have the Jay Bear on here, and his tagline is my favorite. Content is fire. Social media is gasoline. Number one book-selling author.
Oh, Jay, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. Delighted to be here. I'm expecting that we're going to add the applause in post-production.
Exactly. Well, you know, Micah, you did forget that he is the New York Times best-selling author. I love that, by the way, on his profile.
Nobody reads newspapers anymore. Nobody reads newspapers. It doesn't even matter.
Now, if you're on BuzzFeed, now that'd be something different. Yeah, but, you know, New York Times.
Huffington Post, best-selling author.
All right. So, Jay, here's what happened. You published something on LinkedIn that, of course, got us going, what the heck is he talking about? Because, you know, we're LinkedIn advocates over here. The whole show is about LinkedIn. And you write something, and it's titled, "Did LinkedIn Throw Out the Baby with the Bathwater?" Now, I don't think Micah read it, by the way. I think she just looked at the picture and said, we got to bring Jay on. But I want you – I actually read your article, and I want you to kind of summate it. What was the general gist? What was your general argument in that particular article?
Well, here's the challenge I have with LinkedIn. I was one of the first 1,000 people in the world with a LinkedIn account. So I have been down this road for a long, long time. And of course, originally LinkedIn was essentially digital business cards, digital Rolodex, and kind of the original social network. And then a year or two ago, they said, you know, maybe our strategy is to be the business person's content source. And that's when they started with publishing and influencers. And now everybody can write blog posts there and lots of other LinkedIn Pulse and lots of other kind of tools and tactics and techniques to allow people to publish. And now you see major publishers and Forbes and Entrepreneur and people like that publishing content right on the platform. And I thought that was really fantastic. Like, let's be the home of great content for business people and for professionals. But yet you now have this entire other ecosystem that they continue to try and sort of care and feed and water, which is the whole let's connect with one another. Let's use LinkedIn as a social network. And so the problem with that is you get lots and lots and lots of requests from people saying, hey, do you want to connect with me? And it's just people you don't know, you have no idea who they are. And it seems to me like on one hand, you have this sort of low quality, non-curated social network opportunity. And then on the other hand, you have this very robust content platform. And I feel like there's a lot of friction, a lot of collision points between those two objectives. And I'm not really certain what this company is trying to be, because right now they're trying to be both. And I think it weakens both propositions.
All right, let's go through this, because you did bring up a very good point, and it does annoy – I mean, I can tell you why people want to connect with you, Jay, because they want to sell you stuff.
Right, you know? Right. And so that's exactly right. And so the question is that what you want in a social network?
You know,
right? Is that the point of a social network, is to be sold?
Yeah, but you know what? People are doing it on Facebook already, right? I mean, and so I would argue – and I think you bring up a couple of points with your general observation. And certainly the Pulse Network has been – I mean, one of the best episodes we've ever done was a three-part series on publishing to Pulse, and mm-hmm. people love that. I think connections people still try to figure out. But let me go through, because I think your question is, why are you some random person sending me some random request with no context, no information, just trying to connect with me? I mean, what's in it for you? Do you think having Jay Bear in your connections now makes you magical, right? I mean, or is it just a pure spam game of – I'm going to spam out everyone and I hit the J's.
It's probably some of both of that, actually.
Right, exactly. So let's talk about that, because I do the same thing. Because we have the show, I get a lot of random requests done. And sometimes I remember the person, right? So if I know you, you're right. It is my modern Rolodex. If I know you, I'm connecting. I don't even carry business cards. You know, I want you to connect with me on LinkedIn. However, I think the context of the connection matters, because if it is a business-oriented thing, then I think it's absolutely – I'd rather you connect with me on LinkedIn versus Facebook, wouldn't you? I mean, if you know you want to do business with someone, you meet them at a conference, you say, hey, I want to follow up. Do you really want them connecting with you on Facebook, Jay, or on LinkedIn?
I don't think you would connect with them on Facebook, because Facebook has never said, let's connect with people that you don't know. It's just never been the culture of that social network, which is why I think Facebook continues to accelerate past other options, because the culture on Facebook is not to connect with people you don't know. It's primarily to connect with people that you do know, unless, of course, you have a business page and those kind of things. But as an individual,
right,
the people that you are connected to on Facebook are typically people that you actually know. But the culture on LinkedIn somehow went away from what it used to be, which is you meet somebody at an event and then you go back and connect with them on LinkedIn, to let me just connect with people randomly. And I think it weakens the entire value proposition.
I agree. So let's talk about what will help someone connect with you specifically, because I'll give you what I generally say. Is if you're going to connect with me and you don't have 100% guarantee that you and I would know each other's name, then you better put some context into the message that you're connecting with me on, right? You better give something that makes it worth my time, because I understand the context of LinkedIn as a business environment and my business time is extremely valuable. So connect with me only if you can give me something of value and benefit in that connection request. What do you think of that?
I completely agree that there is, trying to connect with somebody cold in LinkedIn is possible if you actually have something of value to offer in that initial point of contact. But of course, very rarely do people do that. Why? Because it's hard and it's time consuming, and people want a shortcut. They want to be able to connect with as many people as possible, as quickly as possible, which is why you see so much abuse of the connecting authority on LinkedIn. It's the same is true on Twitter. The same is true with sending people press releases. The same is true of sending people direct mail or email or phone calls or any other communication modality in the history of man. The overwhelming majority of people who are trying to sell you something or trying to market to you misuse those opportunities because they are lazy. They do not want to put the effort into it to custom write a message and build value for every single person they want to connect to, because it takes time.
Yeah, that's right. Now, you also brought up in that article, and this actually came up because I want to pick your brain a little bit, because you did mention that as they move into this content marketing ecosystem between SlideShare, between Pulse, et cetera, they're abandoning some of the things, or they seem like they're abandoning some of the things like connections, like the social network, but you also bring in their groups. And I want to talk about groups just for a little bit, because Jabez LeBret and I were over at PubCon in Vegas, and we were talking about groups behind the scenes, if you will, and getting some feeling on it. I want to hear your take on groups right now, and then I'll share what Jabez and I talked about.
Well, any comment on groups is going to unfortunately be broad. I'm going to paint a lot of things with a broad brush here, but because there are, of course, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of groups out there, so I'm sure I'm going to impugn somebody here accidentally. But there was a time when LinkedIn groups were the right? Where that was the top of the tactical recommendation pile for anybody, especially in B2B. It's like, well, yeah, you got to be really active in LinkedIn groups. And if you don't find one you like, you'd start one, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It was the thing. And from a feature set standpoint, as far as I know, they've really rolled out essentially no features to support groups in a very, very, very long time. And so what you find is that there are still, you know, many very active, thriving LinkedIn groups, but I think it's fair to say that there are many others that have fallen into disrepair, who have become kind of spam pots, and just do not have the same kind of magnetic pull, or frankly, the same kind of value that they used to. And people have moved on. So sometimes they use Facebook groups because Facebook's usage is so high, and the group's functionality there is very, very easy to use. Sometimes people are using other technology, whether it's Google Hangouts or Blab or Google Plus, theoretically, or you know, there's lots of other ways to drive community now. And I feel like they have slept at the wheel in terms of groups for a long time, because of all the things that LinkedIn does for a segment of their user base, groups are the stickiest thing that they offer. And they haven't really iterated or ideated on that piece of the platform for a really long time. And I think it's a mistake.
I agree 100% with you. So here's, and the reason I bring up Jabez was a guest that we had before, a good friend of mine, has done a lot on groups. And everyone would concur in the marketing world that at one point LinkedIn groups was everything in the LinkedIn ecosystem for marketing, because groups have an email component to them that you can email en masse everyone in a group. So let me tell you what Jabez and I came up with is that he concurs with you, by the way. What he has seen in a sampling of about 110 groups that he belongs to, he was looking at the activity around them. And the thing that LinkedIn did recently is they took stats away, even though there's a hack to it. It's not a perfect hack. They took a lot of features away that you could use to investigate a group and or connect with people in those groups. And then concurrently with that, what he saw was a lot of people posting a discussion, but not a lot of people commenting on the discussion, right? So he actually felt, like you do, that LinkedIn is both abandoned groups as well as maybe groups is not the place it used to be for active online marketers, right? So I think the feeling is there, but let me counter that thought with this. If there are so many good groups out there that still have members in them, and we know that the LinkedIn universe is fairly substantial, much larger than the Twitter universe, then maybe, just maybe, now is the time to start trying to take over groups and trying to revive them. And let me explain why. If you own a group and you're not seeing the activity you want, how would you feel about somebody coming in to try to help you with that group, right? And in helping you with that, revive that group, you get to take ownership of that group. And in taking ownership, you now just got a hold of a ton of email capability, all mm-hmm. by just simple participation. So we both felt groups are going away, but it may be a better time to get into groups if you already can get to the ownership of them and then use the email capability and then drive them to other forms of action, maybe even using a Rainmaker site to draw them to, let's say, a subscription area or something.
Right, right. Yeah, I don't think the ship has sailed on groups as a tactic. And I don't think that LinkedIn would or should pull the plug on groups. I think that would be crazy, actually. But if they don't make groups better at some level, then people are just going to find other yeah. better ways to connect in that capacity.
Sure.
That's the challenge, right? And so I read somewhere that they're talking about, is this true? You guys would know, that all groups are going to be private now, that there's no public groups. I thought I just read that the other day.
No, they're changing. They just sent an email last week changing the rules. There's going to be just two types of group. Before, you had some fairly nuanced settings. Now they're either public and open, or they're private and invited.
That's the basic change. Not the approved by.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not quite sure what that does. So they are paying a little bit of attention, and I think they're not sitting there. We don't know what their plans are. It doesn't seem yet. And what I would always say as a marketer, and this is, I certainly got this feeling at PubCon, people are playing on the creases. You know, we used to go after the low hanging fruit, right? Just optimize your site, get a whole bunch of Google now. Well, that's not the case. I mean, it's so, everyone is competing so much that everyone's trying to find their nuance. They're trying to say, all right, maybe I go into this place where nobody has been playing. And right now it seems that groups, even though we have an awesome group, there are other groups out there that I think you could take over. The other thing, though, that playing on the creases that I do want to talk about, because I actually reviewed your site, and you know what struck me about Convince and Convert's blog site, by the way, specifically your articles, Jay? You do better on LinkedIn for sharing than you do on Facebook for your post. Do you know that?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I start to see it. It's always kind of funny because I always know if you use the word business or LinkedIn in your title, it's going to get a lot more LinkedIn shares. But in your case, you're getting a lot more engagement or I should say resharing of your or sharing of your content on LinkedIn than Facebook. But you're also
I think there's a reason for that. I think the reason for that is our editorial mission has always been that we try and publish content under the and therefore mantra. So we're not trying to tell you what's happening. We're not trying to give you the real-time update on the latest Twitter this or the latest Instagram that. There's many other sites out there that cover that beat very, very well. What we're trying to do is provide content for professional marketers to say, this happened. Now here's what you need to do as a result. And so most of the people on Facebook or content that tends to succeed on Facebook is at the more simplistic, not in a bad way, but just a different type of content. The more simplistic, here's 17 ways to post an image to Instagram kind of content. And that's not the kind of content that we typically produce. Mm-hmm. We're very intentionally a layer or two below that. So we're very excited about the success that the blog continues to have on LinkedIn.
Are you syndicating your blog post onto LinkedIn Pulse? Are you copying and pasting and putting them over there? Because I noticed you do publish about, you know, it seems like once a week on LinkedIn Pulse on your personal profile. Are you guys syndicating?
Not directly. What we do is things that, well, two points to that. One, convinceaconvert.com, we publish 10 posts per week. One of those is written by me personally, and the rest is our rotating stable of amazing guest contributors, podcasts, etc. So I have, in theory, one post a week that I could put on LinkedIn. We don't put all the things that I personally write on LinkedIn. What we do is we publish them to Convince and Convert. If it feels like it's got more of an evergreen opportunity and would be interesting to a somewhat broader audience, not super hardcore content marketing and social media geeks, but a somewhat broader digital or business audience, then we'll change it up, rewrite it at some level and syndicate it to LinkedIn. Yeah.
Okay, good. So you are taking advantage of it. And it sounds like you've identified it. You have a process. You're looking at this could work. Let's change it up and put it on the Pulse Network. So it is still part of your content marketing arsenal. But you're doing some
other— Yeah, we do it at the individual post level, not just like routinely, boom, it goes up. We literally look at it at the individual components. Say, well, okay,
you're not searching for a plugin that says resyndicate to Pulse. Just click here, right?
Well, I mean, I'm sure that exists. If it doesn't, you guys should build that.
So I want to go in, though, because there is an area, and in your article on LinkedIn, you really, I thought it was very concise, because you did point out the things they're doing right. You know, they bought lynda.com, which I think was a brilliant move on their part. But more importantly, they did buy SlideShare. And what kills me is that SlideShare, I mean, you've given presentations all over just like I have, and SlideShare was always the thing where when you go to a conference to speak, you throw up your slides onto SlideShare because they just made it easy. And, you know, you said, hey, there's some traction there. Well, really, even at, you know, at copyblogger.com, we have taken some of those posts, turned them into SlideShare, and been on the front page, the recommended, routinely. I mean, it just blows me away. You take a post that is strong, usually one that has like seven tips to XYZ, right, which is very easy fodder for converting into text image SlideShare. But we've seen amazing traction repurposing blog posts to SlideShare. You're also doing a lot on SlideShare.
Yeah, I'm a huge, huge proponent of SlideShare. And in fact, it's one of the recommendations that we typically provide when we're working with big companies in a strategic planning environment. And almost always big companies, enormous B2B companies that we work with, almost always they are completely out of the SlideShare universe. I mean, they typically don't even have an account. And occasionally they have, you know, an account where they posted one thing, you know, in 2012, you know, it's remarkable. So huge proponents. And we do the same thing. So we take certainly, you know, actual presentations, but we routinely take blog posts that have that kind of approach and then turn them into SlideShares. And it absolutely can be remarkably effective and is relatively easy to do once you've done it a few times. You know, it takes a special kind of person on the team to be able to kind of think in a SlideShare world. That person is not me. And fortunately, we've got good folks on the team to make that happen.
Yeah, I noticed because when you did Utility, you had the 25 Secrets, How I Wrote and Marketed a New York Times best-selling book. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it is that
type. That one I did write.
Yeah. Oh, you did. You did do that slide? Okay. It's funny because, again, I think that tends to be the type of fodder that does well, because if you think that you're putting in some numerical list, if you will, and you can go through and you can give the central theme and content of each one of those slide by slide, then it can live independent of the author and still have meaning and value. So
what's crazy about it is if you think, I mean, obviously people's blog audiences are all over the board, but for us, you know, a good blog post will generate at the post level, you know, a few thousand sessions on the day it was published. We took one, I'm just looking at one right now, we took a blog post that one of our strategists wrote called 4 Photography Tips for Social Media that will secretly turn you into a photo ninja. He's a photographer in addition to being a social strategist. Took the blog post, turned into a SlideShare, and that SlideShare has now generated 24,763 views.
That's it.
Right? So the SlideShare impact is so much greater than the blog impact that you start thinking, well, man, maybe we should do this with every blog post or or with a larger percent. I mean, seriously, maybe. I mean, I've had thoughts like, well, what if we just didn't have a blog and all we did was publish a SlideShare? That became the blog. You know, there's some reasons to not do that in terms of sponsors and things like that. But, you know, the numbers don't lie.
Yeah, they don't. And it's and we're certainly concur with that. We've seen the same effect on copyblogger.com where we've taken, you know, things that we know. And I think that was something else that you said that really makes a lot of sense, by the way. And I don't think enough people do that. I think the fact that you actually thought about what you were going to syndicate, right, first, based on the actions of your audience from your site, gave you a lot of data to help decide, should we spend time and invest in it on this, or should we not spend time and invest on it, right? Because your blog or your central publishing site on the web becomes your literally one-to-one connection with the audience. And from that, the data, are they engaging with it? Are they liking? Are they commenting? Do we see the type of audience that we want to interact with? You're making that the baseline before you determine whether you're going to spend time, money, and resources on SlideShare or publishing in Pulse.
Oh, absolutely. Because every action has a cost, even if it's not out-of-pocket cost, it's an opportunity cost. So I'm not going to have my staff spend time syndicating content to LinkedIn or SlideShare or Pinterest or Blab or anywhere else if we don't think it has a decent chance at having an impact and creating a return. There is no wisdom in being everywhere just to say that you're everywhere. There is wisdom being everywhere if you know that being everywhere is going to work at the individual piece of content level, not at the channel level, at the I wrote this thing or I made this video and this video is going to have an impact in several different channels. In fact, one of the things we've been experimenting with is now uploading video directly to SlideShare, not mm-hmm. including videos inside of SlideShare using YouTube, which you've been able to do for a long time, but actually creating a SlideShare upload that is only a video, which is a relatively new phenomenon, and it's actually been working great. And so the same way that you would take a video and put it on YouTube and take a video and put it on Facebook, we're now taking videos and putting them on SlideShare natively.
Oh, that I was so I'm so glad yeah. you brought that up because I really yeah. wanted to ask you about your experiments on video, and it sounds like you're definitely, you know, you're pushing the envelope by taking the direct video, which you can do in SlideShare, take the actual video and upload the entire video, not just the embed code from YouTube.
Yep. Yeah, I took one of our episodes of Jay Today, which is the near daily video podcast I used to do. And we took a couple of those episodes and put them on SlideShare as an experiment. And one, I just looked at it, it's like 5,600 plays. That's a significant number of impressions for a very specific piece of content.
Jay, you know, I cannot thank you enough for being on the show, man. I love everything you're doing on LinkedIn. And of course, obviously, as a content marketing thought leader, you've just been a guiding light, to say the least, yep. for millions of people, including us. So I can't thank you enough for coming on and sharing, et cetera. And Jay, what is the best way for people to find out more about you? Is it going to convinceandconvert.com? Is that the best way?
Yeah, that's probably the best place, convinceandconvert.com, because our blog is there. Our daily email newsletter is there called Definitive. Our 5 podcasts are there. So lots of different things for the marketing professional.
Excellent. Jay, thank you so much again.
Thank you, Jay.
My pleasure. Talk to you soon.
Micah, you know, Jay just always never fails to just blow me away, you know?
Yeah, he's awesome.
So what was the big thing that you took away from it?
For me, it's always SlideShare and the fact that he's using pure videos and getting all those hits. I mean, I'm sitting here before the interview reading through his utility SlideShare. It's fascinating, and I'm so engaged with it. And so I'm just going to go ahead and say SlideShare and using it for LinkedIn is my number one takeaway from Jay and so many of our guests.
Yeah, I'm going to concur with that. And I love the fact that he brought up video because, again,
right.
I was talking to a lot of thought leaders about the future of mobile, and video kept on coming up and up and up and up. Yep. And I think if, you know, you're sitting there and putting video, directly uploading video into SlideShare, then as we've learned that a lot of LinkedIn traffic is coming from the mobile universe. And what do people like to do on a mobile device? Watch video. I mean, who figured? Yeah, tiny little screen. They want to watch video. So I think that's an excellent, excellent tip that he left, is not only concentrating on SlideShare, repurposing posts that you have now, converting them into slide decks, but also be thinking of a video-first approach for SlideShare, knowing you've got that LinkedIn universe distributed through.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that was pretty big. All righty, Micah, I think that wraps up this episode of The Missing Link. Everyone,
love it.
Love it, love it. As always, thank you to Mr. Jay Bear for an awesome interview. And for the rest of you, we truly hope you have a great rest guest of the week.
You have just experienced The Missing Link exclusively on Rainmaker.fm.